extrovert. He was charming and had a way of making everyone feel as though his attention was solely focused on them. She saw him stopping at table after table, chatting and laughing, yet always keeping one eye on the whole room so he didn't miss a thing. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw Gina wave him over to the bar where she and Jillian were sipping martinis. Jillian had a sleek, platinum blonde bob and was laughing at something the older man next to her was saying. Gina smiled wide as Rhett approached and put her hand on his arm and leaned in to whisper something to him. He laughed and chatted with her for a few moments. "Earth to Mom!" Lisa snapped her attention back to the table and to Kate, who was asking her something. "I'm sorry, I missed that. What did you say?"
"I asked about the parade tomorrow. Did you say that you and Rhett are going to it?"
"We're actually in it. Rhett's driving his car. We leave at noon and drive out to see a sconset, and then we'll tailgate."
"Oh, how fancy. What are you making?" Kristen asked.
"Rhett said he's taking care of all the food. I thought I'd bring a bottle of champagne."
"That seems appropriate. Get the Veuve," Kate suggested.
"You know how over the top some of those tailgates can be."
Lisa chuckled.
"Yes, first time I went, we were shocked to see that one group had their own butler pouring drinks."
"What will you wear?" Kristen asked.
"I'm not entirely sure. Rhett said something that looks 1920-ish. I have that dress I wore a few years ago that kind of looks like a flapper dress, but with long sleeves. Maybe that with a double long strand of pearls and a cute hat. I think I have one somewhere that could work."
"I have a hat you can borrow that would be perfect," Sue offered.
"Good, thanks. I'll swing over in the morning to get it.
One less thing to worry about."
When they finished eating, they all ordered coffee but passed on dessert. Rhett came back to the table as Lisa took her first sip of steaming coffee. He set a plate with a slice of rich-looking chocolate cake in the center of the table, along with four forks.
"I know you think you're too full for dessert, but you have to try this. At least have a few bites. There's a woman on the island that makes these for us, and they're out of this world. That's homemade chocolate cream filling in there and fresh whipped cream on top."
They all groaned, but eagerly reached for a fork to take a taste. By the time Sandy returned with the leather check holder, there wasn't a crumb left on the plate. Lisa reached for the check and was shocked to see that the folder was empty, except for a handwritten note from Rhett.
"Dinner's on me. Thanks for coming in."
"He shouldn't have done that. I expected to pay," Lisa muttered. She'd been planning to pick up the check. It hadn't crossed her mind that Rhett wouldn't give her one.
"That was really nice of him," Kristen said.
"It was. I think we might like him," Kate said with a smile.
"Impressive," Sue agreed.
Lisa left a generous cash tip for Sandy, and they gathered up their bags and to-go boxes with leftovers and made their way toward the door. Lisa wanted to stop and thank Rhett, but he was deep in conversation with an older couple. She managed to catch his eye and mouthed, "Thank you." He winked and waved and then laughed at something the little old lady he was talking with said. Lisa noticed that Gina and Jillian were still holding court at the bar, surrounded now by older men who were laughing and hanging on their every word. As they walked out, she saw Gina wave Rhett over, and he went and joined the conversation, laughing and smiling with the others. Sue's hat was the perfect final touch. Lisa surveyed her outfit the next day and felt like she'd stepped into the Great Gatsby era. Her long dress was a rich plum shade with a boat neck, and it was slimming. She wore long white dinner gloves, strappy heels, long strands of pearls, and the charcoal black hat. It was a warm day for April, so she'd be fine without a jacket. The sun was shining, and she'd picked up a bottle of the champagne that Kate had suggested. Rhett knocked at her door at 11:45, and she caught her breath when she opened the door.
He was wearing a top hat and tails, and his shoes were so polished that they glistened.
You look incredible, shall we?
He held out his hand, and she took it and followed him outside to where the Jaguar was waiting. The top was down, and there was no breeze, but still, Lisa had pinned her hat into place so it wouldn't blow away. She climbed in, and 15 minutes later, they were at the gathering spot and got in line with the other cars. There was a long line of gorgeous old cars, all lovingly maintained. Slowly, they made their way along the parade route and to the final destination in Siasconset, or Sconset, as most people called it. When they reached the last stretch, Lisa marveled at all the people who had shown up to tailgate and make an event of it. They parked in their appointed spot, and Rhett got the hamper out of the trunk. He handed Lisa a huge red blanket that she spread on the grass. He opened the hamper and took out an impressive spread, an array of tasty snacks, cheeses, crusty baguettes, pâté, olives, cold-cooked shrimp, potato salad, sliced rare roast beef, horseradish sauce, and some grapes. Lisa opened the champagne and poured a glass for each of them.
Just one glass for me. I have to head into work later,
Rhett said. They ate their fill and sipped champagne as they people-watched. Once they were done eating, they packed up the food, then took their glasses of champagne and went for a walk, checking out the various tailgates. Lisa had been to Daffodil Weekend tailgates before, but it had been years since she'd been, and they'd definitely gotten more extravagant over the years. Some people had fancy grills set up, elaborate sushi spreads, and even a butler or two. People's outfits ranged from Great Gatsby-ish to Nantucket preppy with bright colors like pink, green, blue, Nantucket red, and pants and dresses covered with whales.
I wish I could join you at the art show tonight. Please give Kristen my best wishes,
Rhett said as they strolled along. I will. She's nervous. She doesn't do many events like this, but I think it could really be good for her. She's already building a following, and having a show this weekend is incredibly good timing. She got lucky when she ran into Andrew Everly. Literally. She told Rhett the story of Kristen's fender bender that resulted in a new friend and art show.
Timing is everything. That's really something.
That was nice of your daughter to drive your car here. Sounds like she and Gina had a good time at the restaurant last night, too.
They did. She's a good kid. It was nice to see her. Gina has been pretty well-behaved, too, once she realized I was serious about not giving in to a fling with her. I think she may even approve of you.
What? Lisa stopped short and looked at Rhett in surprise. She really said that?
She did. She's noticed how close you are to your kids and said that must mean you're a decent person. I assured her that you are.
Lisa was pretty much speechless.
I think she also picked up on the fact that I talk about you constantly and I don't have any plans to leave the island anytime soon.
I did wonder about that. How long you might plan to stay. You do have other restaurants to attend to?
I have good management in place. They almost run themselves, and we have weekly online Skype meetings. It seems to work well enough. I'm not in any hurry to leave. I could see myself possibly staying here. I'll reevaluate after the season ends. We're off to a good start now. Hopefully, it will continue.
It was only April. The season didn't typically end on Nantucket until after Labor Day, and for many restaurants, October's Columbus Day weekend was the final hurrah. And Lisa had seen other restaurants open with a splash and then fizzle out and close after just one season. She didn't think that was likely with Rhett's place, as it was clear he knew what he was doing, but the location was a little out of the way, so you never knew. She hoped he'd stick around, but she knew that she couldn't count on it.
She'd just have to enjoy the time that they did have and take it one day at a time. They settled back on their blanket, snacked on some grapes, and basked in the warmth of the sun while they continued to people watch. Finally, around 2:30, Rhett stretched and reluctantly suggested that they should head back.
I wish I could stay longer, but I need to get into the restaurant early. Tonight being a Saturday, it's possible that we're even busier than we were last night. I think we're ready for it.
I'm sure you are. Everything seemed to be going smoothly last night.
It did, for the most part. I'm lucky. It's a good group of people working there.
Lisa suspected that he might have something to do with that. He'd been training the team for several weeks so that they'd be ready when the restaurant opened, and he set the tone with the attention to service and high quality. That kind of enthusiasm was contagious. Chapter 18. Jack came by a little after 6 to pick up Kate for the art show. She was wearing slim black dress pants and a cream-colored sleeveless silk top that was loose and flattering. She pulled a black cashmere cardigan over it and slipped on her favorite black leather flats. Her one splash of color was a silver necklace with a pretty blue topaz stone. It shimmered and sparkled in the light. She wore matching blue topaz drop earrings and blew her hair out long and straight so it was soft and shiny.
You look pretty.
Jack smiled as she held the door open to let him in. Thank you. You clean up pretty good, too. I'll just grab my purse. He was wearing that same cologne again. Kate didn't know what it was, but she knew that she liked it. A lot. Jack was wearing a deep navy button-down shirt and tan khakis. He looked great. Downtown was mobbed, and it took them a while to find parking, which was always a challenge in Nantucket. If Kate had been in Boston, she might have worn a cute pair of heels, but with the uneven cobblestone streets of Nantucket, heels weren't practical. And flats were so much more comfortable, anyway. They made their way to the gallery, and it was already looking pretty busy. The official show hours were from 6 to 8, but the gallery itself opened at noon, and Kristen's paintings were available to view all day. Kate saw Kristen as soon as they walked in. She was nodding politely at 3 older women who were very enthusiastic about whatever they were saying. Kristen looked lovely. Her hair was loose and wavy, and she was wearing a gorgeous flowing dress that was a tangle of bright blues, pinks, and greens. She looked exactly like what she was, a creative, free spirit. She smiled when she saw Kate and Jack coming her way. I'm so glad you're here, she said as the 3 ladies ran toward the server holding a tray of mini crab cakes. How's it going? Kate asked. It's just starting to get busy now. It was quiet around 6 when we started. I think people were at dinner. Did you guys eat yet? No, we thought we'd grab a bite after, maybe head to Easy Street for Mexican. Oh, that sounds good. I love their nachos. Why don't you come with us, or meet us over there when you finish up? What time can you leave? I'll be here until 8. Andrew mentioned getting a drink after, so I'll see if he wants to head over there. Have you seen Mom yet? She and Sue said they are coming. Not yet. They should be along soon.
What kinds of things do people ask you?
Jack asked. Kristen smiled. All kinds of things. They're mostly curious about how I got started and what the meanings of the different paintings are. Do they all have meanings? Kate had never thought about that before. No, some do, but mostly they represent how I was feeling at any given time. My mood, literally. Stormy seas means I was trying to fight through something, to figure things out. That makes sense. Kate understood exactly what she meant, and it was the reason why the 2 of them got along so well. They both were creative and sensitive, and both liked to avoid conflict in real life and used their art to sort out their feelings.
Unlike Abby and Chase, who were more direct and outspoken. They got along well now, but when they were kids, Abby and Chase used to butt heads all the time, and either Kate or Kristen would play the role of peacemaker. There's Abby and Jeff. Kate saw them walk in and look around. Their mother walked in right behind them with Sue. There are glasses of champagne in the next room, Kristen said.
I'll go get us a glass. Kristen, do you need one?
Jack asked. Sure, thanks. I had one earlier, but I took one sip and then set it down and it disappeared. There you are! Their mother, Sue, Abby, and Jeff spotted Kristen and came right over. They all chatted and mingled, walking around sipping champagne and occasionally having one of the bite-sized appetizers when they came by. Kate was blown away by Kristen's newest painting. I can't believe my sister made this. I don't know how she does it. I can't even do stick people. Kate laughed.
It's really something,
Jack agreed.
I can't draw or paint either. At least you can write. Creating stories is pretty cool.
Oh, I know. I wasn't fishing for compliments. I'm just in awe. I always knew she was good, but this is crazy good. It's like she hit a new level.
I agree. And it looks like we're not the only ones. The bidding has picked up.
They walked over to the bidding book that was on a table by Kristen's newest painting. Kate's jaw dropped when she saw how high the bids already were. The most recent bid was over $5,000.
And it's early still. It will be interesting to see how high it goes,
Jack said. I'm thrilled for her. They made their way over to where their mother was chatting with Abby and Jeff, and Sue was talking to a woman who looked vaguely familiar, but Kate couldn't quite place her. Andrew was chatting with Kristen, and Kate saw him introduce her to a well-dressed older couple. Kristen seemed comfortable now that she was surrounded by people she knew, and everyone was interested in talking to her about her art. Kate was glad to see it.
Two of my favorite people, Kate and Jack. Kristen is your sister, right? Now it makes sense. Andrew called and said we had to come by for tonight's show.
Philippe Gaston had arrived. He gave Kate a quick kiss on the cheek and nodded at Jack.
Oh, my friend Sophie is visiting from L.A. She's an actress in my new show.
It's so nice to meet you. Sophie was stunning. Tall, thin, and blonde with impossibly high cheekbones and pouty lips. She looked like a supermodel.
It's Sophie's first acting job. She's mostly done modeling, Philippe said. I have two other friends in town this weekend, too. They've never been to Nantucket, can you imagine? Dylan did some work on our show, too, and his lovely fiancée, Ellie. Guys, this is Kate and Jack. They're Nantucket natives.
Kate suddenly felt lightheaded. She hadn't expected to see Dylan again, certainly not on Nantucket of all places.
Hi, Kate. You look well.
Hi, Kate, Ellie said softly. Kate noticed with horror that one of her hands kept drifting to her slightly swollen stomach. Her eyes met Dylan's, and he looked uncomfortable for a moment, then forced a smile.
We're engaged and expecting.
That's great.
Is that who I think it is?
Jack whispered softly. Kate nodded. She wasn't upset, just shocked. Kate, do you know Amelia? Abby, this is the woman that runs the yarn shop where Sue and I started taking lessons. Kate tried to focus on what her mother was saying. So that was why the woman looked familiar. Abby, you're the one who's pregnant, right? Congratulations. Kate watched in horror as Abby turned deathly pale and Jeff looked all kinds of confused.
You're pregnant?
He snapped. She nodded miserably.
Is it mine?
His voice was uncomfortably loud and the room suddenly fell silent. Of course it is, Abby hissed. How can you even ask me that?
Jeff laughed. You're kidding, right? What do you expect me to think when my wife tells everyone except me that she's pregnant? I'm out of here. You can drive home. I'll get an Uber to my brother's.
Jeff stalked off and Abby ran after him.
Well, this is turning into quite the night, Jack said. I think I need a refill on the champagne. Anyone else?
While Jack went off for champagne, Philippe pulled Kate aside as Dylan and Ellie wandered into the next room.
Kate, I'm so sorry. I didn't know, or I never would have brought them here.
Kate laughed. It's fine, really. How could you know? And I'm truly over Dylan. It just took me by surprise.
Okay, good.
Sophie seems sweet. Kate wondered how old she was. She looked very young.
She is a sweetheart and mature for her age. She's been modeling for 10 years. Started when she was 14.
Kate couldn't imagine. It was such a different world. Philippe seemed happy, though. Sophie, too.
How's the writing going? Will you have anything to send me soon? I'm looking forward to reading when you're done.
It's going well. I'm near the end now, and it's going so fast. I can barely keep up. He smiled.
That's my favorite part. When the ideas are flowing so fast and furious. It happens like that at the end for me, too. Wish it was that way all the way through. Sometimes it's like pulling teeth, trying to get words to come that won't budge.
Kate laughed. That's exactly what it's like. I should be done with my first draft sometime next week. I'll go over it again, clean it up, and then email it to you. I really appreciate that you're willing to read.
People helped me when I was starting out. I'm just paying it forward. Plus, I like your writing and am sort of in between projects for a few weeks. So, I have time to kill.
Jack returned and handed Kate a new glass of champagne.
I should go find Sophie and the others. Kate, just email when you're ready.
I will. Jack raised his eyebrows as Philippe walked away.
The way tonight has gone so far, do I dare ask what you might be ready for with Philippe?
Kate laughed and almost spit out the champagne she'd just swallowed. He's going to read my manuscript when it's done and ready. Jack laughed.
Good, that I fully approve of. I ran into Andrew and he said that he and Kristen will meet us at Easy Street. It's almost 8 now. I'm going to go check the bidding.
Oh, fun. Let me know how crazy high it's getting. I'm going to find my mother and say goodbye. Kate found her mother and Sue just outside the door trying to calm down a nearly hysterical Abby. She wasn't usually so emotional, but Kate figured the pregnancy hormones and keeping the secret for too long was too much for her. Why didn't you tell him sooner? Kate asked once Abby had calmed down.
I should have, I know. I just didn't want to rock the boat. We were getting along so well, and I'd already waited too long.
I knew it was going to be an issue that I didn't tell him sooner, so I put it off, which just made it worse.
You can get past this, their mother assured her.
I hope so. He's furious now, but I'll go see him tomorrow and talk to him.
We're going off for Mexican. Do you want to join us?
Kate thought maybe it would help to get her mind off everything, but Abby shook her head.
No, thank you. My stomach can't handle Mexican right now. But I do have an unopened carton of mint chocolate chip waiting for me.
Kate went back inside and found Jack, who was chatting with Kristen and Andrew. The gallery had emptied out as it was a few minutes past 8.
We'll head over there and grab a table, Jack said. We're maybe 10 minutes behind you, Andrew said.
When they reached Easy Street Cantina, there were plenty of tables open as the dinner rush was over. They were seated at a table for 4. Jack ordered a beer and Kate got a frozen raspberry margarita. Their server set down a basket of hot tortilla chips and salsa when she delivered their drinks.
Is your sister okay?
Jack asked. She will be, She and Jeff hit a rough patch, but they'd been working things out. They had a hard time getting pregnant, which is probably why he took it even harder.
And that was Dylan. What did you ever see in that guy, anyway? He's not worthy.
That made Kate smile, and she agreed. He was charming and fun and ridiculously handsome. I never really trusted that it would last, to be honest.
Well, he's an idiot, but you are so much better off. And so am I.
Jack took her hand and gave it a reassuring squeeze. Kate felt an initial jolt when Jack touched her, but it also felt right and sweet. She relaxed as the tension she'd been holding since seeing Dylan ebbed away. They both turned, and Jack pulled his hand away as Kristen and Andrew came through the door and joined them.
Hey, good news. Guess who was the top bidder for Kristen's painting?
Andrew asked. Who? Kate asked. Andrew grinned.
Jack. Really? Cool. I wasn't sure if I'd still be standing.
Jack looked happy and surprised, but not as surprised as Kate and Kristen. You were the top bidder? Wow. Kate was curious what the final bid was, but knew it would be rude to ask.
I wanted it the minute I saw it. I could picture it in my living room above my sofa facing the ocean. And all of her other ones sold too. If you have any more you'd like to give me, I'm sure they'll go quickly,
Andrew said. Kristen looked overwhelmed, but in a good way. Of course. You saw my studio. I can definitely give you more. Do you want to pick them out?
You pick. I'll take whatever you want to bring me. Maybe 3 next week.
Kristen nodded. I'll bring them by. Kristen and Andrew both ordered margaritas on the rocks, and they all decided to split an order of smoked spiced chicken nachos and a box of fish tacos. The food was great, and they talked and laughed over dinner. Kate wasn't sure how Kristen felt about Andrew, but she thought they seemed really comfortable together, and they definitely had a lot in common. And Andrew was unattached, which was a huge improvement over Sean. Kate was so glad that he hadn't decided to drop by the show tonight. They'd had enough drama for one night. Kristen was yawning by the time they finished eating. Kate guessed that she'd suddenly hit a wall. She knew how much it took out of her to be around that many people and to be on. Kate was feeling tired herself. It was almost 10 and she was full and ready for bed. They said their goodbyes and Jack drove them home and walked her to her door. I'd invite you in, but I'm afraid I might fall asleep on you, she admitted. He laughed.
No worries. I'm pretty tired too. But not too tired for a quick goodnight kiss?
She nodded as he leaned in and lightly touched his lips to hers. The touch woke her as her senses went on high alert and she kissed him back. When he pulled away, they were both smiling.
Thank you for a memorable night. Let's do it again soon.
I'd like that. Abby tossed and turned all night. The ice cream hadn't helped, as she'd hoped. It only gave her an upset stomach and heartburn, which made it harder to sleep. When she'd run after Jeff, he'd been too mad to listen. She'd tried to talk to him, to explain, but he wasn't having it. She knew he needed to cool down and process what he'd learned. She hoped, after sleeping on it, that he'd calm down and be excited. She called first thing the next morning when she woke up, but his cell phone was off. She left a message asking him to call her as soon as he got up, but he waited all day until almost 4 in the afternoon to call. She'd stayed home, skipping her mother's usual Sunday dinner because she didn't want to miss his call, and she wasn't in the mood to be around anyone. "Where are you?" she asked when he finally called.
"At my brother's. I told you that last night."
He was still in a bad mood and wasn't making it easy for her.
"I'm sorry, so sorry,"
Can I come see you so I can explain in person? She needed to look in his eyes, hold his hands to see him in order to reach him. She didn't want to plead her case on the phone.
I guess you could come over.
I'll see you in 15 minutes. Abby quickly brushed her teeth and her hair and headed out the door. She made one stop along the way and arrived at Jeff's brother's house exactly 15 minutes later. A very grumpy and tired-looking Jeff opened the door when she rang the bell. He glanced at the bag she was holding.
What's that?
Our ice cream. I picked up a fresh carton. It worked when you came to see me, so I figured it couldn't hurt. A slight smile came and went as Jeff turned and walked into the kitchen and got two bowls and spoons.
Ice cream first. We can talk while we eat.
That sounded fine to her. Jeff scooped out two generous servings and put the container in the freezer. They carried their bowls into the living room and sat on opposite ends of the sofa.
So go ahead. Explain why you didn't tell me about our baby. When did you find out, by the way?
Abby took a deep breath. He wasn't going to like her answer. The day I asked you to leave.
Are you serious? You could have told me then. I never would have had to leave.
Abby tried to explain. I didn't want you to change because of the baby. I wanted you to do it for me because we were important enough.
Okay. So then why not tell me when I moved back in?
I wanted to make sure the change was real, that it would last. You've done that before, you know, changed for a few weeks and then gone back to the long hours again. I just wanted to wait until I was sure.
So you're saying all this time you still haven't been sure?
He sounded frustrated, and she didn't blame him. No, the longer I waited, the harder it was to tell you, so I put it off. I wanted to tell you. I would have soon, I swear. I was just waiting for the right moment.
So you're not still unsure about us?
Jeff's spoon clanged in his empty bowl as he set it on the coffee table. I'm completely sure. And I'm so glad that you know now. Are you excited about the baby?
Of course I am. I was just completely shocked, especially since the IVF didn't work. So I wasn't expecting that we could do it naturally. Did the doctor explain why it happened now?
She said that sometimes it just happens when people stop trying and the pressure is off. So are we okay now? Will you come home? Abby needed him to come home. She was so relieved that he knew, finally. But she couldn't relax until they were okay again.
I guess I could come home.
He smiled.
Do you know what we're having yet?
No, but we can find out in about 6 weeks. You can come with me then for the ultrasound if you want to.
I want to.
Chapter 19. 2 months later, mid-June. Jack laughed at the cash register sound that came from Kate's computer. They were heading out to meet Philippe and his newest girlfriend, Angela, another model from LA. He was in town for the long weekend and for the Nantucket Film Festival. Kate was excited to go for the first time. She'd always been away, either at college or working in Boston, and had always wanted to go, but it had never worked out. Philippe had VIP tickets to some of the screenings and parties and was excited to introduce her to some of his Hollywood friends, producers, and directors that he worked with.
How are sales today?
Jack asked as the computer made the ka-ching sound again. It made Kate laugh. It still seemed surreal to her that people were actually buying her book online. She'd uploaded it herself, had a cover made, the book edited, and booked ads to market it. She pulled up the software that tracked her daily sales. Philippe had read the book as he'd promised and had given her several pages of notes on things to fix. It had shaken her at first, and she doubted that the book was good enough and questioned whether she should be writing. But then she realized what a gift he'd given her, a roadmap on how to make her book better. He'd followed up his email with a phone call where he told her the book was good, really good, and just needed some structural tweaks to make it so compelling that readers wouldn't be able to put it down. She slept on his suggestions and then spent the next week making the changes. He read again and gave it the thumbs up, and then she sent it off to an editor that he recommended. Philippe also advised against trying to publish traditionally and suggested that she do it herself so she could get it out there right away. He also asked if she'd let him show it to a few people he knew, just to see if there could be any film or TV interest. He stressed that it was a long shot so that she wouldn't get her hopes up. She agreed and then put it out of her mind as she hadn't even published the book yet. Oh, it's still climbing. The ad must be working.
It's selling more than it did yesterday. That was your highest day ever, right?
She nodded. She didn't really understand it, but for the past 2 weeks, her book suddenly seemed to sprout wings and had been steadily climbing in ranking and sales each day.
Maybe it's word of mouth? People telling their friends to read it? It's a good book, so that's not surprising to me.
Jack looked proud, and Kate loved him for it. And she realized that she really did love him. She walked over and gave him a long, deep kiss that took him by surprise.
What was that for? I'll do it again, whatever it was.
Just for supporting me. For believing in me. She was so comfortable around Jack, and for the first time, she was in a relationship that was easy. She wasn't on edge or worried about how things were going. She was just enjoying each day that they spent together, which was almost every day at this point. They'd fallen into a routine of having dinner together most nights, either at his house or at hers, and going out on the weekends. Kate looked around the living room and at the gorgeous ocean view out the bay window. I am going to miss this place, but I am grateful that Paige decided to stay longer than usual in Florida. Paige had met a man in Florida, and they were having so much fun that she wasn't in any hurry to come home, but she'd messaged the day before and said she'd be back before the 4th of July weekend and was bringing her new friend with her.
Are you still planning to go to Kristen's?
Jack asked. She nodded. That's the plan, for now. Her place is small, but she has a spare bedroom I can use.
What if I have a better suggestion?
What's that?
Why don't you just move in with me? We're together all the time anyway. I know it's only been a few months, but it feels right to me. What do you think?
Kate felt a rush of joy and didn't hesitate. It hasn't been long, but I agree. It does feel right. And I like your place much more than Kristen's.
How about another kiss, then, to seal the deal?
He pulled her to him and kissed her until she was breathless. Well, we should probably get going. Kate shut down the computer, grabbed her purse, and headed out the door. Jack drove, and Kate recognized Philippe's Range Rover when they reached the restaurant where the VIP gathering was happening. It was a cocktail hour followed by a screening of an indie film. Philippe came rushing over to them when they walked in. A shorter guy with a goatee and dark glasses was by his side. Philippe seemed more full of energy than usual. Kate wondered if it was because he was surrounded by so many creative people and producers he'd worked with.
Kate, Jack, I want you to meet a friend of mine, Kurt Murphy. He's a director. You might know his sister, Kelly Murphy.
I love her movies. Kelly was a tiny blonde dynamo with long blonde hair, big blue eyes, and a sweet southern drawl. She was currently the queen of romantic comedies, and Kate knew she was also a big reader and had an Instagram book club where she often recommended books that she'd loved. If Kelly were ever to recommend her book, it would skyrocket it more than any ad ever would.
but she knew that wasn't likely.
So I gave Kurt a copy of your book, and he passed it on to his sister.
Kate held her breath. Kurt held out his hand.
It's a pleasure to meet you. I loved your book.
Kate suddenly felt lightheaded. He liked her book.
My sister did too. She's wondering if you would consider optioning it.
See, isn't this great?
Philippe said. Optioning it? Kate repeated. She wasn't entirely sure what he was asking.
Yes, she'd like to star in it, with me directing. If that might interest you.
Kate reached around and grabbed Jack's hand. He squeezed it tight and she tried to focus. I think I would love that.
Good. I'll have my attorney draw something up, run it by Kelly's attorney, and then we'll email it to you for your attorney to look over. Sound good?
Yes, I need to get an attorney, but it sounds great. Kurt laughed.
I have someone I can refer you to. I'll email you his info, Philippe said.
How about a drink to celebrate?
Kurt said. Yes, please. Chardonnay for me.
I'll have a beer, thanks,
Jack said.
I'll be right back.
Kurt went off to find the bar, and Philippe high-fived both of them. I can't believe what just happened, Kate said. Philippe looked excited for her, but also added a word of caution.
Well, it's fantastic, but I still wouldn't get your hopes up too high. There's still a chance it might not happen. Sometimes these projects take a while to get off the ground, and sometimes they never do. But Kelly and Kurt have a pretty good track record.
It's worth celebrating.
Chapter 20. Kate said she has some big news to tell us, Lisa said as she stirred the pot of tomato sauce and meatballs that was simmering on the stove. It was 3:45, and all of her children would be arriving soon for Sunday dinner. Rhett was already sitting at the kitchen island, sipping a glass of red wine. He took Sundays off, and the restaurant was closed on Mondays, so he usually joined them for Sunday dinner. Lisa was still enjoying his company, and they'd settled into a comfortable relationship. Neither one of them talked about the future, about what would happen when the restaurant closed for the season. Lisa didn't want to think about it. She just hoped for the best and trusted that if it was meant to be, things would work out the way that they should.
What do you think it is? Something to do with Jack?
Lisa turned the heat down to low and poured herself a small glass of wine and joined Rhett at the island. I'm really not sure. I wouldn't mind if it's about Jack. I like him. I think they're good together. Lisa had been horrified when Kate had pointed out Dylan and his pregnant young girlfriend at Kristen's art opening. She shuddered at the thought that Kate had almost married him. Better to have her heart broken before marriage than after.
I like Jack,
Rhett agreed. A moment later, he casually said,
I heard from Gina a little while ago. She's engaged again.
Lisa almost spilled her wine. To who? He shrugged.
Some guy she said she used to date. He's older and they reconnected. She sounds happy.
I hope it works out for her. Lisa thought about Kristen and how sometimes it wasn't a good thing when people got back together. She'd had her hopes up for Andrew, the nice young man that owned the art gallery. He and Kristen seemed to have so much in common. But after the art show, Sean had called Kristen to let her know he'd filed for divorce finally and that he wanted to see if they could make things work. Kristen went back to him since she thought it was what she wanted, and since he actually filed for divorce, that it was only right that she gave him a chance. She said she was happy, but Lisa wondered. She never brought him to Sunday dinner the way that Abby brought Jeff, and Kate almost always brought Jack. But Lisa knew that Sean had a child and often saw him on the weekends. Still, her motherly sense wasn't sure of Sean.
Are you nervous about tomorrow?
Rhett asked.
Her bed and breakfast was on the agenda for the Monday night Board of Selectmen's meeting, and Lisa was ready for it. She was armed with information and screenshots of her high ratings and repeat bookings from Airbnb. Yes and no. I feel a lot more confident than last time because things are going so well, but I don't trust Violet and the others.
I wouldn't worry about them. I think the board was just appeasing them last time. Your business hasn't caused any problems, and there shouldn't be any reason for them to say no.
I hope you're right. Lisa heard footsteps and laughter outside the door as Kate and Jack and Kristen walked in, followed a few minutes later by Abby, Jeff, and Chase. Once everyone was gathered in the kitchen, Lisa asked Kate to spill her big news. Rhett and I have been trying to figure out what your news could be, and we have run out of ideas. Kate laughed. I still can't quite believe it myself. There are two things, actually. I already updated Kristen that I'm not going to be moving in with her after all. Lisa's heart skipped a beat. You're not going back to Boston? She'd gotten used to having Kate back on the island. No, I think I might stay here a while longer. She smiled. Jack invited me to move in with him. Oh, that's marvelous. Lisa was happy with the news. It hadn't been long, but she liked Jack and thought he was good for Kate. And my book is doing pretty well. Between the freelancing and the daily book sales, I think I'll be able to support myself. I haven't wiped out my savings yet. That's even better news. I'm so glad your book is doing well. It's very good. Sue thought so too. Thanks, Mom. But the really big news is Jack and I went to the film festival last night and met Kurt Murphy, a friend of Philippe's. He passed my book on to Kurt, and he liked it. He gave it to his sister, Kelly Murphy, the actress, and she loved it. Kelly Murphy did? Wow! Kristen was impressed. Lisa was too, though she only had a vague idea who Kelly Murphy was. Anyway, Kelly loved it and wants to option it so she can star in it and her brother, Kurt, can direct. It still might not actually happen, but it could. A movie? From your book? That's wonderful, honey. Lisa was so proud of Kate. She'd worked really hard on her book, and now someone might make a movie of it. It was incredible. Kate, that's awesome. Congratulations, Abby said. She looked around the room and nodded at Jeff, who looked excited, and Lisa suspected that it wasn't about Kate's book. We have some news, too. We had our ultrasound yesterday, and we found out the sex of the baby. She looked at Jeff again.
It's a boy,
he said proudly. Lisa felt overcome with emotion. She took a deep breath. Well, we have a lot to celebrate tonight. Everyone, help yourself to wine or beer and let's sit down and eat. The following evening, the entire Hodges family, spouses, significant others, and friends all showed up early at the Monday night Board of Selectmen's meeting and filled the first and second rows. Lisa noticed that the same people who had protested her bed and breakfast last time were all in attendance. The meeting was called to order at 7 sharp, and after spending an hour going through old and new business, they finally got the request for approval of her bed and breakfast. Tom Barkley, the new chairman, looked Lisa's way as he read from his notes.
Next up is the matter of the Beach Plum Cove Inn owned by Lisa Hodges. She is seeking approval to be recognized as an official bed and breakfast. This would give her the ability to advertise and be listed on the Nantucket Island tourist sites. Mrs. Hodges has provided us an accounting of her bookings and ratings and her repeat bookings. We see no reason not to grant this approval. Are there any objections from the floor?
Lisa groaned as Violet's hand went flying up.
Yes, go ahead and speak,
Tom instructed her. Violet stood and looked around the packed room. I have the same objection that I had before. There's just no need for another bed and breakfast. It's a nuisance to the neighborhood.
Tom nodded. You may sit.
He looked toward the back of the room and addressed the local sheriff.
Pete, have you had any noise complaints or any complaints at all about Mrs. Hodges' business? No, sir. Only complaint I heard is that she only has 5 rooms available, and my wife's friend couldn't get one of them because she was already booked.
There was a ripple of laughter in the room, and Lisa relaxed a little. Tom turned around and conferred with the other board members. When he turned back, he was smiling as he looked Lisa's way.
Congratulations, Mrs. Hodges. The board approves your home as an official bed and breakfast. And with that, we're done. Meeting adjourned.
So that's it then? Lisa said to no one in particular. Rhett put his arm around her shoulder and gave it a squeeze.
It's official. You can put up a big sign and advertise however you like now.
I can help you get some brochures printed, and we can update the website and run some Facebook ads. Kate sounded excited about all the possibilities. Thanks, everyone, for coming. I really appreciate your support. Lisa felt her eyes grow damp as she looked around at her family and friends who had all helped her to make the Beach Plum Cove Inn happen. And she had to laugh at the sheriff's comment. His wife had called her directly and asked if there was any way she could squeeze her friend in, as if Lisa could magically conjure up an extra room. Though she wasn't fully booked all the time, the bookings were pretty steady, and Chase had floated the idea to possibly build an addition with 2 more rooms. Everyone went their separate ways, and Lisa and Rhett went home, got 2 big bowls of ice cream, and went out onto the porch to celebrate. It was a beautiful night. They sat side by side on the old swing sofa that Lisa bought when the kids were small. It was soft and comfy, and it rocked back and forth. They rocked as they ate their ice cream, and the warm June breezes danced over them. When they finished, Lisa set their bowls on the outside table and snuggled next to Rhett. He wrapped his arm around her and pulled her close.
You happy?
He asked. She sighed with contentment. Her life was good. Yes, so happy. He leaned in and touched his lips to hers for a quick, sweet kiss. Then he smiled and gently brushed a wayward strand of hair across her cheek.
Me too.
I hope you enjoyed The Nantucket Inn. The next book in the series, Nantucket Neighbors, will focus more on Kristen and Chase and a mysterious guest that disappears on her way to check in. About the author. Pamela M. Kelly lives in the historic seaside town of Plymouth, Massachusetts, near Cape Cod and just south of Boston. She has always been a bookworm and still reads often and widely romance, mysteries, thrillers, and cookbooks. She writes contemporary romance and suspense, and you'll probably see food featured and possibly a recipe or two. She is owned by a cute little rescue kitty, Bella. This has been the Nantucket Inn, Nantucket Beach Plum Cove Series Book 1, written by Pamela M. Kelly, narrated by Carissa Vacker. Copyright 2019 by Pamela M. Kelly. Production copyright by Pamela M. Kelly. The end.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.